Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. And in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God, and his ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. And as for all of his foes, he puffs at them, and he says in his heart, I shall not be moved, and throughout all the generations I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing, deceit, and oppression, and under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. And he sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places he murders the innocent, and his eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. And he lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor, and he seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed and sink down and fall by his might, and he says in his heart, God has forgotten, and he has hidden his face, and he will never see it. Psalm 10. Arrogance, schemes, boastfulness, greed, that of being filled with cursing and deceit, acting as an oppressor, sitting in ambush, seekers and murderers of the innocent, and yet they are not called out by man as God calls them out. They seek the poor, they crush the helpless, and with the audacity too, they proclaim, God has forgotten, and he has hidden his face, and he will never see what I have done. And so their lust and a thirst for power and that of control increases, and they grow to acquire a taste for blood. They are the same that celebrated the death of a young father, husband, and son, because they did not like what he said, because he spoke truth to them. For they had exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. These are those who are evil and wicked in nature, and they act on it, never considering that there may be a cost to them, and not caring that there will be a cost to someone else. From BibleHub.com, evil, in the biblical context, refers to that which is morally wrong, sinful, and wicked. It is the antithesis of good, and it is often associated with rebellion against God. The Bible presents evil as both a personal and a systemic force that opposes God's will and purposes. Wickedness in the Bible is often synonymous with sin, iniquity, and evil. It represents a deviation from God's laws and commands, characterized by actions, thoughts, and intentions that are contrary to his will. Wickedness illustrates the moral and spiritual corruption that stands in opposition to God's holiness and righteousness. Wickedness is depicted as a persuasive force that affects individuals, communities, and nations, leading to judgment and separation from God. There's individual wickedness. The Bible provides numerous examples of individuals who embody wickedness. Cain's murder of Abel is an early instance of personal wickedness, demonstrating how sin can lead to violence and fratricide. And in the New Testament, Judas Iscariot's betrayal of Jesus serves as a poignant example of personal wickedness driven by greed and deceit. There's corporate wickedness. Wickedness is not limited to individuals, but can permeate entire communities and societies. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are emblematic of collective wickedness, where rampant immorality and injustice led to divine judgment. Similarly, the nation of Israel faced consequences for its collective disobedience and idolatry, as seen in the Babylonian exile. And there's spiritual wickedness. The Bible also addresses the spiritual dimension of wickedness, highlighting the influence of demonic forces and false teachings. Ephesians 6 and 12 states, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And this passage underscores the reality of spiritual wickedness that believers must contend with. The consequences. Separation from God. Wickedness creates a barrier between humanity and God, leading to spiritual death. Isaiah 59 and 2 declares, "But your iniquities have built barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you." This separation underscores the gravity of wickedness and its impact on one's relationship with God. There's divine judgment. The Bible consistently warns of the judgment that awaits the wicked. In Proverbs 11 and 21, "Be assured that the wicked will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will escape." This principle is evident in the narratives of the flood in Genesis 6 through 9, and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where divine judgment serves as a response to pervasive wickedness and eternal consequences. The New Testament expands on the eternal consequences of wickedness, emphasizing the reality of hell as a place of punishment for the unrepentant. Matthew 25 and 46 states, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This highlights the ultimate fate of those who persist in wickedness without seeking redemption. Wickedness and evil are fundamentally rooted in a rejection of God's authority and a preference for self-rule. The wicked are often characterized by their desire for deceiving, their thirst for violence, and their created injustices. But Proverbs 6 says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Each of these behaviors is extremely hateful, extremely divisive, and is filled with malice. Who then are they who would be called evil and wicked? Well, the word says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah wrote of God's glory, "Their words and their deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence." It is the acknowledgement of God as the supreme ruler. It is in his power, his majesty, and the splendor of his name. It is having the presence of the Lord with you and honoring him for who he is and for what he has done. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 3, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have sinned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, no, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips, and their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and in their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Not all of these who are evil and wicked will they thirst for blood. But opportunity tempts them, and it plants the desire within them. Light and dark, good and evil, godly and ungodly, both paths intersect at times, and the casualties mount up as people will either turn to God or away from him. You see, no one can bypass having to make a choice as to whom they will follow and whom they will serve. The evil person creates new ways to be evil. An example today is the selling of safety by surveillance in its many forms. The reminders that for today it can be used for good, but tomorrow it may be thrust upon you forcefully. Tomorrow it may bypass your safety and become a tool that will threaten your very existence. So why are we afraid to call out sin as sin, and evil and wickedness for what it is? A survey taken in early 2025 shows that 84% of Americans believe that sin exists, but just over half believe that everyone sins. Only 52% of American adults are willing to concede that they themselves are a sinner, a figure that rises to 2/3 among self-described Christians, and therein lies the quandary for the survey in that many who claim to be self-describing Christians do not know the God of the Bible, nor do they know his son Jesus, who is his Christ. And in another survey, a significant number of self-identified Christians hold beliefs that contradict core biblical teachings, such as God created them male and female. There are many in the survey that have become self-proclaimed theologians. meaning that they interpret the words of God to suit the lifestyle that they want to live, and they ignore the parts of God's word that will convict them, and thereby save their lives if they will acknowledge the conviction, and then confess to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, and inviting Jesus to become Lord in their life. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. 1 John 1:8-10. You see, the Lord is King forever and ever, and the nations perish from His land. O Lord, You hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline their ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that the man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Lord, deliver us from evil, both within and without. Amen.